About 1 in 10 Americans has some kind of implanted device. Artificial hips, pacemakers, I've got that titanium knee. You might think these devices are carefully regulated by the government. But according to our next guest, many are sold without any clinical testing, and less than 1% undergo two trials, the standard requirement for drugs. In 2015, 16,000 deaths associated with medical devices were reported to the FDA, but the General Accounting Office estimates that only 1% of device-related deaths are reported overall because there's no requirement to do so. And then there's regulatory capture, medical device executives sitting on regulatory boards, and doctors getting payments from medical device companies. And heroic patients like Dennis Fagan, we'll get to him, with investigative journalist Jeannie Lenzer. Her book is The Danger Within Us. She says that millions benefit from medical devices, but there are others, like the orthopedic surgeon being poisoned by the cobalt in his hip. We spoke to her last year just after her book was released and started by asking how companies are able to deflect blame for illness or death, saying the devices aren't responsible for these outcomes.
One of the problems in medicine is that when something goes wrong, doctors tend to blame the underlying condition or disease that the patient has. And when patients get better, they invariably attribute their improvement to the drug or device that they gave the patient.
And in fact, you point to lidocaine, which was supposed to reduce deadly heart rhythms, but people getting it were more likely to die.
Yes, and it was really an important illusion because these bad rhythms that are likely to kill someone, well, they disappeared. But unfortunately, so did the patients.
Right. You point to a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association that shows from 2008 to 2012, the FDA approved 400 implanted devices of moderate to high risk without any clinical testing? Do we read that right?
Exactly. In fact, the overwhelming majority of medical devices that are on the market that are implanted in patients undergo no clinical trials. So of the very high-risk devices capable of causing serious injury or death, those devices, only 5% even underwent two clinical trials. And even those clinical trials weren't necessarily trustworthy.
How did this happen? Like, what's the overarching thing here? Yeah.
What happened was, is medical devices didn't come under the purview of FDA until 1976. And at that point, there were lots of devices already on the market, things like pacemakers, artificial hips. And so what the FDA did once devices came under their regulation was they said, okay, all you guys that are already out on the market, you can stay on the market. But we're going to divide you up into three classes. Class 1 devices are low risk, class 2 intermediate risk, and class 3 are the high risk implanted devices. So with the class 3 devices, companies were able to keep putting new versions on the market simply by tweaking them and saying, well, there's already a device on the market like this, so we're just going to add a supplement. Mm. Well, the original device was never put through clinical trials in the first place.
Right. Well, this brings us to Dennis Fagan, who had a VNS, or vagus nerve stimulator, implant in his neck. This was to regulate seizures. It worked for a while, and then the seizures came back even worse. It led to one horrendous night. But just briefly, what does the vagus nerve do? What did this thing do? And then what happened to him?
Well, nobody knows why stimulating the vagus nerve should control seizures. And in fact, there's really no evidence that it really does. What happened to Dennis was one night he was awakened by a pain in his throat, and he thought that that meant a seizure. He knew from prior experience that he'd have this pain in his throat with a seizure. So he got up and he put a vertical mark on his calendar on that date. And when his parents found him the next morning, there were 12 marks on that date. And they came into his house, and he stumbled out of his room and fell face first onto the floor. And then, afraid of falling again, he wiggles over, props himself up against a wall with his back to the wall. His legs are splayed in front of him. His jeans are wet with urine, and he promptly passes out again. When the paramedics come, they give him some medicine for epilepsy, and it doesn't work. So they rush him to the hospital where the ER doctor looks at his seizures and gives him more, and it still doesn't work. And that's when his doctor notices that Fagan's heart is stopping at exactly 3-minute intervals. Fagan wasn't passing out from seizures. He was passing out from lack of oxygen to the brain. the cardiologist takes a look at this, and they're all puzzled. And in comes the neurologist, who finally explains that Fagan had this VNS device put in him, and the device is set to fire at exactly 3-minute intervals.
So it was the device that was meant to save him that was actually, you know, maybe it had stopped at one point the seizures, but now it was stopping his heart. And then you have this scene where everybody's running around trying to find the thing that you turn this off with. It's a magnet.
When they realize it's the device, he finally gets the doctor rushes off, gets the thing to turn it off. And when he turns it off, the seizures completely stop.
Yeah.
So it's clear that the device, instead of stopping his seizures, was stopping his heart. And despite that, the company tried to blame a medicine that Fagan was taking. But there's another way they get off the hook, and that's with the Supreme Court preemption ruling that says that you can't sue the device maker. And the rationale is, oh, the FDA has tested it so well that we can't sue them because they've been approved. Now, that's a real change. And that's part of regulatory capture, that the FDA hired somebody from the tobacco companies, the legal firm that defended tobacco companies and drug companies, Dan Troy, and he filed an amicus brief on behalf of the FDA so that people couldn't sue. And the FDA had previously always supported the right of people to sue, saying it's the only way to keep people safe so that we learn about these problems.
Well, meanwhile, Dennis Fagan tries to warn the company, the FDA. Nobody will listen to him. He finds VNS message boards on the internet where people are having this conversation. He finds databases that shows that people are dying. Meantime, we're learning some of the other problems here. Doctors have no way of even knowing if you have an implant. So when he was rushed to the hospital near death, they didn't know he had a device. I mean, that is so frightening.
Yes. It is. And unfortunately, a program to have device identifiers on all implanted devices has been in the works for over a decade, and it just hasn't happened.
He tries to get documents from the FDA using the Freedom of Information request. You say it's like a Kafka novel where he can't get the information. But where are we on medical devices? I mean, your book obviously has been explosive. But is there a sense that this might change, or is it just about educating people so that they know?
No, things are getting worse now. With the 21st Century Cures Act that was passed in 2016, they allowed the level of evidence that's used to approve devices to degrade even further. One of the problems with the device in Dennis Fagan is that that device was known to cause a high rate of deaths. And that's a direct quote from the FDA's own transcripts when they were considering the device, a high rate of deaths among the people who were implanted. They only approved the device conditionally, but they didn't require the manufacturer to tell patients that. Now, can you imagine if the company had to say to patients they were intending to implant this device in, gee, you know, the FDA has approved this only conditionally, meaning they can pull it off the market if we don't prove it's safe, because a lot of people died. Would you still like to have this device implanted in you? Patients weren't told that.
Right.
And what I want to see is honesty in this reporting. It's not that I think all devices are bad. In fact, I'm the beneficiary of an implanted device. What's troubling is we can't tell the difference between good devices and deadly devices. Even people like the doctor you mentioned who had a hip implant, who was an orthopedic surgeon, couldn't tell a good device from a bad device because there isn't testing. The FDA simply isn't requiring that testing.
Yeah. Well, you suggest, first of all, a wall between device companies and physicians who use the devices and a single-payer insurance system.
Well, first of all, the no payments to individual doctors. There are doctors who've made tens of thousands of dollars, some upwards of $500,000 from device companies for implanting these devices. Now, it's hidden under phrases like consulting fees or teaching fees. That's like a judge taking money from a defense attorney.
Well, what about the single-payer system? How would that change things?
Well, right now, doctors who implant devices in particular are often paid on fee-for-service, which means that every time they implant something, they make more money. So if doctors are salaried, it takes away that incentive to do more for doing more. And we don't have independent research. That's the other arm of my discussion, is that medical research has been so corrupted by allowing each manufacturer to do all the research and to tell us which device is the safest. I mean, that's rather like allowing Toyota to tell us which is the best car on the road. the FDA has been bought by these companies.
Well, so meanwhile, how is Dennis Fagan? Drove everyone crazy with his family, 15 emails a day, trying to get across what was happening. One of the wires that's supposed to be hooked up to the nerve from his VNS device right. has moved into his jugular vein, you know, a dangerous situation. How is he?
He's having a difficult time, but he's also persisting in his very lonely work of trying to get this device off the market or to get somebody to pay attention to the harm so that at least patients are warned about these possibilities.
Jeannie Lenzer, we spoke last year. Her book, The Danger Within Us, describes the largely unregulated world of medical devices. If this resonates with you, let us know at hereandnow.org.